Good morning, everybody. Good to be back with you once again. Thanks for tuning in this morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God is good, and we rejoice in Him this day. This is His day. Hallelujah. And He's given life and breath to all of us. So we should rejoice in our great God, the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And He shed His blood on a brutal cross on behalf of you and me, that we might go free, that we could be forgiven, that we could receive eternal life through Him. God is into new beginnings. God is the giver of hope. We're never without hope. Because we have the God of all hope on our side. We're trusting in the God who doesn't fail. So no matter what things are looking like today, no matter how difficult things may be in your life, know that you have a God who cares, who is there for you. He wants to be believed. He wants you to believe what He said. And to His people, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God wants us to love with the love of the Lord, the agape, unselfish, a sacrificial, unidirectional kind of love, to love one another. This is the commandment that He gave us. For all the law is fulfilled in that one command, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so He's a good shepherd. He's the lover of your soul. He's the one that watches over you. And as a good shepherd, the shepherd will take care of his flock. And sometimes that means that the shepherd has to discipline his flock. He has to punish his sheep to get our attention at times because we're all prone to wander. But God is relentlessly in love with us. He continues to plead with us and to call us back to Himself. He wants us to walk before Him with a completely honest heart. God's looking for honest followers, not people who pretend, but people who are authentic, people who are real and are honest about who they are and where they're at. And when we make a mistake, that we're willing to admit it, that we're willing to take responsibility for our mistakes. And if we confess our sins, Jesus said through John, that He is willing to forgive us. Yeah, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the God that we serve. So no matter what you've done, no matter how badly you've blown it, wherever you find yourself today, know that there is a God in heaven who loves you and wants you to come to Him. And He's made this possible through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so through the blood of Christ, we can come with confidence before our Father in heaven, before the throne of grace, and make our petitions known. So no matter where you're at today, no matter what it's been like, no matter where you've been, God calls you to Himself. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The title of today's message is The Command to Love, because God has come to save, to heal, and to deliver the captives. He's come to restore lives. We know that the problems that we see in this world, the brokenness as a result of sin, because man listened to the wrong voice, because man listened to Lucifer, who was in rebellion to God's authority. And as a result, sin came upon all of us. And we live in a sin-sick world, a broken world. But God is going to restore even the earth someday. He's going to redeem everything. Hallelujah. But to those who look to Him, those who trust in Him, those who call upon Him, He is near to them. He will take care of us no matter what happens. Our God is faithful and He is true. That's who He is. We need to remember God's heart is redemptive in nature. In order for someone to be saved, to be healed, or even to be restored, a person must first become aware of their fallen condition. And that without Christ, we're without hope. Because He is the hope of the world. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Me. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need to call upon Him, the only one who can save us. Hallelujah. We need to thank God that today He's given us His Holy Spirit in His church, and He's given us His Word. In Hebrews 4:12, very familiar passage, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Apostle Paul said this to the Corinthian church, for if we would judge ourselves or discern ourselves, we would not be judged, or we would not be called into question or sentenced. If we would judge ourselves or discern ourselves, we would not be judged. In verse 32, he said, but when we are judged, also means examined, we are chastened or instructed and disciplined by the Lord, that we may not be condemned, that means sentenced or damned, with the world. So God, as a good father, will discipline His people because He loves us. But God gives us the responsibility of our lives to choose His way, to choose to follow Him. And if we would discern our own actions, if we would judge ourselves, because it's easy to look around at others and find fault. You will find fault in me if you look hard enough. But what we need to do is look to the perfect one who gave Himself for us and has given us His Word and His Spirit to equip and to empower and enable us to live a life that is pleasing to Him. My righteousness is Jesus Christ in me. He is my hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. God is the perfect judge, and because He is the perfect judge, He knows us even better than we think we know ourselves. Our judgment can be flawed apart from the illumination of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit always moves in harmony with the Word of God. He never contradicts the Word of God. In Psalms 119 and verse 130, it says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And obviously, when you have light, you can see clearly. And so God's Word is that light for us to see. He illuminates our understanding. He reveals to us what is real, what is authentic, what is truth. So a proper understanding of our own shortcomings and failures can assist us in becoming more merciful towards others. We need to see ourselves. We need to take a look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. We need to judge ourselves and not be so quick to try to point out the faults in others. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged or condemned, especially in the light of the fact that we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In James chapter 2, verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. This is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the law that is written in our hearts by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He will lead us into all truth, and He will show us things to come. He will remind us of the things that the Lord has said. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. We need to be careful, all of us, of adopting a critical spirit, judgmental spirit. Now listen, criticism is good if it's redemptive in nature. If it's constructive in nature, criticism is good. And when God reveals our faults, it's always for the purpose of restoring us and helping us to grow. But criticism is not good if it is used to degrade, to belittle or condemn others. And it can also be the result sometimes of jealousy. Sometimes criticism is used as a smokescreen, even to cover one's own sense of guilt or shame. Example is some politicians. They accuse others of doing the very thing that they are doing. But as believers, we know that we're going to be judged by the Lord. We all have our day in court. As a matter of fact, the day is coming when every knee shall bow of those things in heaven, those things on earth, and the things under the earth. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. So when we talk about the judgment here, the judgment seat of Christ is called the Bema seat. And we get a picture of, you know, the Olympic Games and the judges that would judge the athletes that were out on the field. And we know that God is the ultimate judge. He's a fair judge. And he's going to reward each one according to their works. And God wants his people. He wants all of us to finish our race with joy. And he wants us to receive an abundant welcome into the kingdom. I know we're all looking for the day when we see Jesus and we want to hear him say in that day, what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. So with this in mind, let's be careful how we treat others, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now those who have received the mercy of God, who know the mercy of God, who have been forgiven much, also love much, it becomes easier for us to forgive others when we know how much we've been forgiven. And so receiving God's mercy helps us to be more merciful towards others. Receiving God's grace helps us to be more gracious towards others. You and I are incapable of ministering anything to anybody apart from the Spirit of the Lord that will have any eternal value. So we need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of the Lord, we're able to be a blessing to others. We're able to be forgiving. We're able to be patient. We're able to be gentle with one another. Many right now, as you know, are being shaken. And God is purifying many in this season. But the fire also has a tendency to reveal the impurities. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus said this, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now I want to read that from the Amplified. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. Now, we know that often people will quote this verse in an attempt to avoid being corrected in a fault. However, a person who refuses correction is unwise. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life. But those who ignore correction will go astray. Because I know sometimes the flesh, the old man, the old nature, he doesn't want to hear the truth. But if you're born of God's Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, there's a part of you that desires to know him, to have fellowship with him, to know him better, and you accept the counsel of your Lord. You accept the correction of your Lord. You know that God's word is good for you, because your Father cares for you. And you know that even when he disciplines you, he always does it in love, because God has a redemptive heart. So we can lovingly confront an error in another person's life, but we should not be quick to judge or judge hypocritically like the Pharisees. So Jesus is not telling us to judge at all. He's saying be careful how you judge, because it's going to be meted back to you. To the same way, the same standards that you hold people to, understand that you'll be judged by that as well. Galatians 6:1, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly, listen, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. So sharing each other's burdens means that I'm also my brother's keeper. And if I see a brother that's in a fault, or I see a brother that's in error, you know, I need to obey the Spirit of the Lord. If the Spirit of the Lord is pointing me to that brother and saying, I want you to go and speak to this brother, then I need to be faithful to obey the Lord and go to that one in a spirit of humility and humble yourself and do what you can to try to win that brother back to the Lord. That's loving one another. Hallelujah. If you see somebody drowning in the ocean and you have a lifesaver and you don't throw the lifesaver, how can you be loving that person? But Jesus never intended for us, listen, to abandon our discernment. And so the New Testament has many illustrations or legitimate judgments of others. So number one, here's one. When disputes arise between believers, they should be settled in the church before members who can decide the matter. 1 Corinthians 6:1 says, when one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to the other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? And I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that we need to decide and make judgments upon things that are happening within the fellowship, the local church, the local assembly, because we are responsible for keeping the body in health, amen, and taking care of one another. So in love, we need to reach out. We need to seek to correct a brother or sister that's in error. And so, number two, the local church is also to judge serious sins of its members and take appropriate action. Here's one in 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anybody named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Wow, when's the last time have you heard that preached from the pulpit? 1 Corinthians 5:12, for what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? Question. Listen what he said in verse 13, but those who are outside, that means the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, God judges. Therefore, he said, put away from yourselves that evil person. Of course, he's referring to a man that had his father's wife, and he was living in open sin and rebellion and would not be corrected. Now, number three, believers are to judge also the teaching and the preaching of others. How do we do that? Well, the only way we can do that adequately is by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and the Word of God. It will always work together in harmony. By the Spirit and the Word, we're able to discern whether the message is of God or not. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, it says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So yes, we are to judge the words that are being spoken by prophets, by preachers, by teachers. Judge everything by the Spirit and the Word, not by your personal opinion or bias, but what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. As the Holy Spirit will help you to know what God is saying. Christians must judge also whether or not a person is a true believer before they get married or even enter into a business partnership with them. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Now, I've seen many people fall into very many problems because they refuse to heed this instruction that the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. And people make emotional decisions and they get married to someone who's not a believer. So they're unequally yoked and they have many problems. Now, if you became saved after you are already in a marriage situation and maybe your spouse is unsaved, then you should do whatever you can to pray for that one, to be an example to them, but not to leave that one. But pray in hopes that maybe your spouse someday, well, their eyes will be open and they will return to the Lord, that they might receive His mercy and forgiveness just like you did. And that word yoke, it says unequally yoked, means to yoke up differently or to associate disordinately. And so God wants us to be together in harmony. Can two walk together except they be in agreement? Well, the answer is no. We have to be in agreement. We have to think and speak the same things. By the Spirit and the Word, we can have harmony. We have peace in our hearts through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have peace with God, then we can have peace with one another as well. Now, Jesus warned that unrighteous judgment would be repaid in kind. And again, he said in Matthew 7:2, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged." Again, because we are all going to be judged by the Lord, that's why we must be careful to judge ourselves. And we're not to judge ourselves by our own human standards, as some do, or by our own understanding, as sometimes we may do, or by comparing ourselves to others as well. But we are to judge ourselves by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, who works in harmony with the Word. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11:31. "For if we would judge ourselves, what we would not be judged." Once again, Paul warned the Colossians now about the legalists in his day, and who would wrongly judge those who are in Christ for their newfound freedom, for their liberty. And they wanted to bring them back under the yoke of the law and under the oppression of the law, whereas no one was able to live up to the perfect standard of the law, which is perfection. God's law is holy, it's perfect, it's good, but none of us were able in our own strength or willpower able to live up to the perfect requirements of that law. So Christ came and fulfilled the requirements of that law, and he became our offering, the offering of sin on our behalf. And he took our sins upon himself, hallelujah, at the cross. So if we would turn to him in faith and repentance with an honest heart, that God would forgive us and cleanse us and restore us to fellowship with him by imparting his Holy Spirit into our hearts, that would then begin to cry out, "Abba, Father," we become sons and daughters through the new birth. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:16 says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance," or the fulfillment, was what? It was in Christ. The Sabbath was given as a type of the rest, which would be the portion of all who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the reality to which the Old Testament shadows had pointed. You see, our Sabbath is found in Christ, who is our rest. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what? "My rest." There are some legalists here in Colossae who were telling the believers that they had to follow the Old Testament laws concerning these religious festivals and foods and new moon celebrations and Sabbath days. And the false teachers were telling the Colossians that it was not enough just to have Christ, that they also needed to keep the Jewish ceremonial laws. Now we see in the Jewish feasts a picture, a pattern of how God deals with the people, and we see a picture of Christ in that. And that's good. It helps us sometimes to understand our Lord. But it's not a requirement for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. And so in Christ Jesus, we become the righteousness of God in him. Now, here's several things that we are commanded to do in the New Testament. Now, God wants us to love, amen, to not judge one another, but to love one another. And when we love others, then there will be righteous judgment, that the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. He will reveal to us maybe a situation that's going on, because maybe God is going to use you as an instrument to intercede. That means to pray on behalf of this person, that God would intervene in that situation. Or it may be that God has shown you something because he wants you to be the instrument that will go to that person in love, in humility, and seek to restore that one by bringing the message that they need to hear, the message from the Lord. So God wants us as his people in the New Testament to be filled with his Spirit, and that his love would be, his agape love would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In John 13:34, here it is, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this will all know, or will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In 1 Peter 4:8 it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." If we are truly loving others and loving brothers and sisters, then we're not going to go around exploiting them. We're not going to go around exposing them to everybody. We're not going to get on Facebook and slam them. We're not going to rail on them in the presence of others. If we're loving people, then we're going to seek to reconcile that brother. We're going to seek to get that brother or sister restored back to right fellowship with the Lord. If we really love people, then we're willing to cover for them. Amen. We should be standing in the gap for one another. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean we make excuses for sin. It means that we do what God tells us to do in that situation to bring about, hopefully, the reconciliation of that one that has wandered from him, from the Lord. Now, God wants his people, all of us, to live in harmony with one another. 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Romans 12:16. Here it is in the New Living Translation. It says, "Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all." God wants us to be humble towards one another. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but what gives grace to the humble." God wants us to bear patiently with one another. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another." That means to cancel the debt. If somebody has hurt you, if they've done something against you, you need to let that go. You need to cancel that debt. Even as God in his mercy was willing to forgive us, if we confess, he will forgive. Amen. So likewise, if a brother confesses to you, forgive him. Amen. Bearing with one another. That means that we're going to have to endure some hardship. We're going to have to endure sometimes an insult or something that was said that was hurtful to us. But we need to understand that the Lord has been more than merciful, more than long-suffering for us. He's been compassionate. He's been so patient with you and I that he was willing to wait for us to come to the end of ourselves, to our senses, to where we realize that there is no other hope except through him. There's no other solution to the sin problem except to turn to God through Jesus Christ and receive his mercy. He is a merciful God. He wants to forgive. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. And God is saying to his people, "I want you to go now and do likewise to one another. I want you to follow my example. As I have loved you, now I'm sending you out to go and love others." Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you." We are to represent our Father in this world. We are to bear his heart to the world, an expression of his heart to the world. Hallelujah. So God wants us also as his people to respect one another, to honor one another. Romans 12:10 says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." God wants us to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, "For you have been called to live in freedom. my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. God wants us to accept one another. Yeah, in any family, there's going to be kinks, there's going to be flaws. But God in His mercy was willing to accept us because we turned to Him in repentance. So we need to receive one another and understand that we are now joint heirs with Jesus. That means we are the family of God. And as His people, as the family of God, we are to take care of each other. We are to respect one another. We should honor one another and even prefer one another before ourselves. Romans 15:7, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. God wants us to encourage one another. If ever there was a time when we need encouragement, it's right now. And if you have the Lord in you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you have the encourager in you. He's not into discouragement. The devil's into discouragement. God is into encouraging His people, building up, edifying His body, building itself up in the agape, the love of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants a church that is beautiful, that is prepared for the day when He comes. And the Father sends the Son. This is Son. Now is the time. Go get my children. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Even though we can't meet in person right now, we can certainly meet here and join our hearts together and be one in the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no distance in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But encourage one another, it says, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Do you see it? The Lord is at the door. He's calling us to come, to return to the Lord. He's calling us to forsake our idols. He's waking up the nations. He's waking up America. He's calling America back. If my people, the ones who are called by my name, that was referring to ancient Israel, but also today, we are the spiritual Israel. Hallelujah, the church of Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile, have become one new man in Christ. He's calling His people now in Christ to return, to seek His face, to turn from our wicked ways. Then, He said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God wants to forgive. God wants to heal our land. God wants to restore this nation. And guys, this is the time for the church to arise and shine. This is our finest hour. People are hungry. People are searching for answers, looking in all the wrong places. But we know that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. We need to point people to the only one who can save, heal, and deliver, who can give us peace, even in the midst of the turmoil and the chaos of our present world. God is our peace. My soul finds rest in God alone. My peace depends on Him. And in that place of quiet rest, He fills me from within. Oh, pour on me your holy oil, Spirit of the living God. Lord, fill our cups today. Pour your holy oil upon your church, upon your people. Lord, give us shalom, your perfect peace. Restore your people, Lord God, and restore us back together in harmony and unity across this nation, Father. Unite your people. Raise up an army, hallelujah, of warriors, prayer warriors, Lord, that will battle in the Spirit for the souls of men and women, children that are lost, that are looking for answers, God. Stir up the gift of God within each one of us, I pray. Fan into flame that gift in each one of us, God. Here we are, Lord. We submit ourselves to You. Father, we pray for Your kingdom to come and Your will to be done in each one of our lives and in our nation. Hallelujah. And God, I pray that You would help us to get over ourselves and to look past ourselves, to look to You, to trust in You, to hope in You, to know, God, that You've got it under control. Hallelujah. And that in you, Lord, we can have stability. We can have peace. Hallelujah. For you are the firm foundation. You are the solid rock, Lord Jesus. His commandment is for us to love. True Christianity is not obedience to a list of rules, but a relationship with Jesus and expressing his love to others. Romans 13 and 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Hear it, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. What kind of love are we talking about? We're not talking about the eros, the sensual love of the world. We're talking about the agape, the love of God, the highest love, the sacrificial love, the unidirectional love, the love that is willing to lay down one's life for a brother, the love that Jesus expressed and demonstrated for us on the cross. For God so agapeoed the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Turn to Jesus. Confess your sins. Renounce your sinful ways. Turn to the only one who can save. God wants to make you a new creation. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you his Holy Spirit. If you've drifted away, if you've been away from the Lord, come back to Jesus. Call upon him. Confess before him. Be honest with him. Submit yourself to him. And God said, I will raise up the one who humbles himself. God will exalt you. And when God exalts you, no man can take that from you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Turn away from your own wisdom. Believe the word of God today. God's word is truth. 1 Corinthians 13:4. This is God's kind of love. This is what it looks like. Love is patient. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. That's God's kind of love. When God forgives us, he no longer holds it against us. So likewise, do to others. Even as you'd have others do unto you. As God demonstrated to us his great mercy, so we should also demonstrate that mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In verse 6 it says, love, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Hallelujah. Love never gives up. Never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you will have a supernatural confidence, an ability to endure anything that comes your way. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We must believe the Word of God. We must speak the Word of God. We must live the truth, hallelujah, even before those who are outside. Hallelujah, God wants all to be saved. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, once again I pray for my brothers and sisters today that you'd bless them and keep them and cause your face to shine upon them. Lord, be gracious unto them. Lift up the light of your countenance upon them. And give them your shalom, your peace, Lord. God bless you all. Thank you once again for tuning in today. Feel free to call me or text me. Keeping my ear to the ground, listening for any changes that are up and coming here. I know that slowly we are reopening the state, and we just have to wait and see how things are working out. There are many things that are happening simultaneous right now. I'm trying to pay attention to all this, but know that you and I are one in the Spirit. Remember to pray for your brothers and sisters. Amen. Know that I am praying for you every day, and I'm believing God's best for you. God's got a plan for your life. It's superior to anything that you could want for yourself. Trust Him. Be willing to yield yourself and allow God to have His way in your life. Let Him take charge of your life. Let Him be Lord of your life. And as Lord, He will lead you in the way that you should go. Hallelujah, which is the way everlasting. One day, and one day soon, we will see the Lord. The King is coming. There's coming a day when we shall see the Lord. Yes, in all of His glory. For He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. God is moving mightily upon the earth right now. God is preparing a people. He's preparing a church. He's preparing a bride. It's time to rise and shine because your light has come. Your light is Christ in you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep you each one. See you soon. Looking forward to that day when we can all be together once again in one place, worshiping Him. Hallelujah. Take it easy. Bye.